Well, welcome to our opening edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. We welcome you to Flowery Branch on a Monday following the Falcons season opener yesterday at the Dome. And a disappointing game, Coach, I'm sure, for you and your club, because it was kind of right there in the details,
I guess, afterwards. And that's why we told the team we thought the preparation was on point. And some of the critical mistakes that we made in this game, we just can't have. The red zone penalties, the third down penalties that extended some drives. So when we look back at it, we knew the corrections were ones that were correctable, the mistakes that we made, but we don't need to have those scars to play really well. And that's really what it came down to, is us doing right longer, and we didn't. And especially defensively, to allow, explosive plays that resulted in touchdowns, that's not what we're going to be about.
Dan, when you look at, let's look at the offensive side of the football for a second. You talked a little bit about you were disappointed that the run game didn't give you more after you've watched the tape. Did some of the things you're talking about from a technique standpoint come up?
Yeah, here's what I saw. I thought there was certainly some opportunities for some big ones, and that's really what makes the run game go, when you're able to break like a 25-yarder or a 30-yarder, and we thought the opportunities were there. If we didn't come down and get the crack or get the fit just exactly like we want, we knew they had an active front, and their linebackers were going to be hard to block. But when those opportunities come, you've got to capitalize on it. And when we didn't on a number of those plays where the long one doesn't take place, that's a problem. It happened in the pass game, and the running backs were a real factor, catching the ball out of the backfield, the screens. But in the run game, we've got to be on the details each and every time.
Eight different guys caught balls yesterday. I mean, was that kind of the thinking going in?
We were happy about that. So there's such a wide array of guys that can do it. We've got some guys that can really haul, not just at receiver, but at running back. And it was good to see that, the tight ends be, the factor that they were. At the end of the day, we know all of these guys can play, and how do we feature them best? So it was great to see Coleman out of the backfield, see Freeman doing his thing. He's a very good catcher as well. So each week there may be some unique things that go towards number 11. Mm-hmm. He certainly garners that kind of respect. And when that happens, everybody else has to pay. I thought Matt Ryan, particularly had a nice day. I think he ended up being 27 or 28 of 39 times, had zero interceptions, had three drops, and still had over 300 yards passing. I thought his game, he looked very comfortable in the pocket. He was good on the move. He just had a real focus about him.
How important is it, Dan, when you are talking to guys about how much are you working in the offseason? What are you doing when nobody's watching? All the adages as players, remember coaches telling us. And you get a guy like Tevin Coleman, who spent all the time trying to work on catching the ball out of the backfield and do all the kind of things. He made one circus catch. It turned into a monster. Matt's getting heated up with pressure. It's the hot read out the right side. He gets him the football. He makes a great catch. How rewarding is it when you see a guy benefit from the work?
It is. And you've seen the plan D work, the development work that the guys have put in. And Bobby Turner specifically, can Coleman be a weapon catching as well, because he's got the speed to make big plays, and he trusted that speed yesterday when he's out of the backfield and kept going on his angle. So we've got two significant factors at running back, and the way Devontae and Tevin work together, I think it's been great.
It's interesting, just to kind of break this apart, and I want to ask you about it, and I know sometimes quick to use the analogy first game type stuff, but the penalties and the unforced errors on the penalties, that probably is the frustrating part, right?
That's probably for the team, that's what we talked about the most. And we've got a real standard about how we want to play. And when somebody jumps off sides or has a third down penalty, well, they're messing with the standard. And we know that, and that's what we discussed today. It was some uncomfortable conversations for sure to get those issues fixed. And that's what we're intent on doing before we head out to Oakland.
It's Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn. D, before we obviously shift gears and talk a little bit on the defense, wanted to talk a little bit more about your offensive line. I mean, that was a focal point. You went out and got Alex Mack. He looked like he held up pretty good. Now, there were some moments against a really good player in Gerald McCoy. He made a couple plays, some penetration plays. Overall, your satisfaction with how that group played in the run game and the pass game?
And Mack was a key factor in that. He was one of the guys that got out on the screen. Another guy that stood out from some really good finishes was Schrader. Playing at right tackle, we're hoping for that toughness to come through. So, in my mind, he was another guy that had some really good finishes. But Mack and Levitre in particular played very well inside, very strong, on the move, and then Schrader outside.
Boy, Schrader showed some real athleticism for you on that bubble screen you threw to Tevin, where he had to get out and get
Levante
David blocked.
Yeah, were the two that had to get out, and Mack threw, and then the next thing out Coleman goes. So The nice part about our team, they all recognize they're an extension of one another. So for that screen to happen, Schrader's got to nail his. Mac has to nail his. So when we do wrong and have the false starts or the penalties, hey, we're all still an extension of each other. And then where Alford had a foul and Claiborne had a foul. So let's make sure that part of our game, you know, comes back to life.
I know you mentioned penalties in the red zone. The frustration there becomes not a touchdown but a field goal, right?
That's the truth. And so I think one of them, we were down low and then ended up having like a third and goal from the 17, which is not the down and distances that you're looking for. We want to be aggressive, but we want to play smart too. And so when we get our chances, we're going to go let it rip. That wasn't one of them for us where we're going to get the points out of this one and keep moving. But I think some of those ones seem bigger because we let up 31 points, and now you're in a, you know, come-from-behind scenario, and we've got lots of resiliency with this group, and you know they're going to battle, but we don't need to be in that situation.
I thought there was a couple moments for your defense yesterday that the young linebackers were involved in that will be one of those lessons they'll never, ever forget.
Yeah.
One of them was the run where Sims gets in, and I know you cringe probably looking at that, but Devondre Campbell comes inside and blows up two of his own guys and doesn't keep leverage to the outside.
That's exactly right. The leverage tackle, I'm sure you guys saw that for sure. That's such a big tenet in how we tackle. Like, we're a leverage-based tackling team. We're hitting the strike zone. So on that one time, if you decide I'm not going to keep my leverage, I'm going to go take a shot, that's sure enough going to be the one time that the guy jumps outside and now you're able to score. So it was one for him that he had to learn. And you don't like it, but I doubt he will lose leverage like that again anytime soon.
Well, and the other one was Deion Jones,
yeah,
where you get the bootleg to the right and you get the ball back inside. He knew you were supposed to be, but he let his eyes drift into the backfield instead of staying with the tight end on the lead.
And as a former player, you can certainly appreciate when you review a play in practice and you hit it, and then it comes up in the game and you miss it, you know, the frustration that comes. Sometimes the unscouted looks, you know, he can come back to the sideline. Brick, I'd never seen that one before, and on this one, he knew right away, you know, that one belonged to him.
Yeah, I just thought those were two moments those kids will never forget, and I would be willing to bet they'll never make those mistakes.
And we knew there would be some mistakes that are going to happen, and that happens with all rookies, whatever the position. They're just plays that come up. The same thing happened to Campbell on the OPI where he didn't, you know, play through the hands to look back. So we're very pleased with where those guys are heading, and we're disappointed defensively of how we performed, but we're just we're pleased with where those two specifically are heading.
I hear coaches say from time to time, I can live with the mistakes if they make them full speed.
That's right.
And they made mistakes full speed.
That is the truth, and I hope the speed jumped out of you know, the way and style that they want to play. We know that's a bigger part of our defense.
Interesting to watch the young guys. Did you have to calm them down a
No,
little bit?
They really hadn't. They were pretty you know, ready in terms of not making the moment too big. They had a number of good guys who were there supporting them around them. Because not too often that you start two, you know, rookie linebackers. I didn't want to tell Ulbrich no one really ever does that. So we let that part, you know, be. And so he wouldn't get worried. But, you know, honestly, in there, they've kind of been with that group for a while now. Mm-hmm. And so they've earned the trust of their teammates. They know they're going to perform like they're capable.
I know you're disappointed in giving up the big pass plays.
We were.
The shot down to the tight end, and it looked like pretty good coverage
by
Spoon. He was right there. And then you had the throw where Evans makes a really good catch with Alford right in his hip pocket as well. Is there something they could have done differently maybe to help out on those plays?
We thought on the second one, you know, with Alford, we have just a unique way that we play our three deep and the way we use our corners and how the safeties fit. So on that one, we thought the technique was certainly correctable. Mm. And then I'd like to give credit to Tampa on the one that went to Spoon. I thought the quarterback just threw a terrific ball, and the tight end made a good catch. So I'll give you one of the two.
Okay.
Fair quarterback.
Right. That's fair.
Hey, here's the – I don't know if this is the setup for week two, but how close are you? You feel like you're really close, don't you?
We do, and that's why I guess why you know, this one really stung. Not only was it a division game, but for months and months now, you just want to come out and show, you know, the significant improvements that you made.
Sure.
And when you don't get to do that right off the bat, there's a level of frustration that goes. When we came back and we watched it early this morning, we knew these are correctable mistakes. And so that gives you lots of belief to knowing that your plan's right, your scheme's right, the players are right. Now let's go do what we do. And that was really the message that we sent.
I thought one of the other things we saw yesterday that maybe you weren't able to do as much of last year in your schedule was the combinations on defense.
Yep.
I mean, the combinations of personnel, and I know Neal is on the shelf here for a couple more weeks, but, boy, you really rolled some guys in, moved them around, did a lot of things that I'm not sure you were capable of doing last year, Coach.
And now that you know the players and you know how to feature them best, and really that's kind of the whole trick of the whole thing, to put guys in spots where they do their thing. And fortunately, we have good mix of big guys and fast guys and how to utilize them. And now after a whole year, we know so many of them so well. So we're going to try to put Ish in the spots where he can do his things really well. Because I thought he's a very good tackler. And, so can we put him in positions where he does his thing?
Dan, I think the question you wanted answers to is coming into camp, and it's certainly something that the fan thinks about, is they want those splash plays with the defensive front putting the quarterback on the ground.
Yep.
You didn't get that yesterday. It looked like you were really close in the first half, and in the second half, I don't know if they went to a little bit more max protection, just couldn't quite
times,
get to the
not
guy.
Not as many. I think it ended up being about six quarterback hits, but not the thing that's the great part about when you get the quarterback down to the ground, you got a shot at the ball. And so for us to be the ball-hawking team that we can be, you know, one takeaway a game is not good enough. Now, let me tell you, I was thrilled with the offense in terms of their ball security and the mindfulness and consciousness they had for the ball. But for us to be at our best defensively, we had about 13 really good hard shots at the ball that Tampa did a good job of holding on to. But we've got to get more off the QB.
From the pressure scenario, what is it you feel like? I mean, is that just something in progress? I know you want you using Vic in a little bit different ways off the ball. I saw different formations where he's walking into the B gap and A gap some.
The biggest thing, we're not where we're going to be. And we're still developing in that way, in a significant way. So I think we're going to keep improving in that area. We've added some speed to the group, which also helps the overall, you know, the quarterback has to get rid of it quicker. The coverage is a little tighter. So it's all kind of interconnected, and they're all an extension of each other. So we're going to continue to work hard at that spot. And Vic and, Freeney, they're significant impacts for that. Claiborne had a hit. So the fact that we're feel more comfortable pressuring now with some of the matchups that we like, we're going to do that too. A
couple of things. You mentioned Freeney. About what you expected in game one in terms
of his
service?
We played a little more than we thought. Brooks Reed was out for a while.
Right.
And so once those happen, you know, the injuries take place and another guy's got to step up. That's the game. And so when Brooks was able to come back, that evened it out a little more. But I would say he probably got a little more than we anticipated. But that happens due to injuries, and he was ready to answer.
Coach, he commands attention when he goes on the field, doesn't
he? There's no doubt. They knew where 93 was, and I'm pretty sure he's used to that.
Oh, and that's big, too, because you start talking about, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're trying to put their game plan together, and then you've got one particular player you got to account for in particular,
right.
Make sure we get him blocked. He has some of that effect.
Yeah, the way as coaches would say, let's not let this guy ruin the game.
Yeah.
And he's been in those conversations in offensive meeting rooms for years.
And, of course, Tevin Coleman's 47-yard catch brings us back from break. One of the eight different guys to catch passes yesterday, Coach Quinn. And, in fact, he led you in yardage with 95, 47 on the one swing there. But it speaks to his ability and all the improvement he's made being drafted out of Indiana.
He's really put the work in this offseason. And he finished the season. He was disappointed in his rookie performance. And ever since the beginning of the offseason program, you just felt a different energy about him. I was pleased to see him use that speed and trust it, you know, as he was getting down and the safety had an angle and he kept going, kept digging for it. So we've got really good backs, both in the run game and the pass game.
Okay, let's dive into a couple of numbers that I know you weren't overly excited about.
Okay.
3 for 13 on third down on offense. 3 for 13 on third down on offense. Some of those, as you mentioned,
nine
backed yourself up. With mistakes. Talk about that and how you fix that.
And really the way to fix that is we don't want to be in these, you know, I think it was maybe half a dozen times at least over, you know, seven or more. And so for us to be at our best, now it's third and three, now it's third and four. The calls change, the protection changes. So those are the ones that we're going to nail. We ended up having a good fourth down conversion, you know, as we crossed midfield and went to Tammy on a nice catch. But the third down, when we're at our best, it's in those 2 to 6 windows.
Q, your defense was 3 for 10 on third downs. That was an area of you. It was part of what you wanted
it
to get
was.
Fixed. You were 27th in the league last year. Their teams were converting at almost 44% or whatever it was. Pretty good effort there.
And that's why we felt the significant difference. You know, the fouls on the third down, that's the one that we just know we can nail. And they don't have to let these drives continue. The fouls that happened on third down led to 17 points. The drives kept continuing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so for us, when we get off the field, let's make sure there wasn't an offsides or a PI, you know, that resulted in points.
I've heard a lot of coaches tell me you got a week one to week two is the most improvement a team can make. Now, I've heard a lot of college coaches say that.
Yes.
It's a different variety I know you're dealing with. But how much do you think you can improve in 1 week of play?
I think your conditioning certainly improves because now you've been through an entire game where in the preseason you might have had a quarter or a quarter and a half or at the most, you know, three. So now that you've been through the whole thing, you know the pacing of it, and I think it really pushes your conditioning early. But past that, it really comes down to executing the plan as well as we can, making sure we take care of our game. And that's going to be the real message this week. Although we're heading to Oakland to play a terrific team, we've got matchups that we've got to be able to handle. But it's ultimately going to come down to how we play.
Boy, I thought your guys looked a lot fresher. And I'm not trying to say this to say they're not doing anything down at Tampa to get ready to play, but just looked like you were fresher in the fourth quarter than the other team.
I think it's a resilient group, our group is. And they've worked hard in camp. We told them that training camp, it wasn't going to be easy, but it'd be worth it. And so I think for the most part, they felt ready to play. And their preparation was on point. Their conditioning was good. And then why didn't we execute on some of the things? That's where we got to make sure we're staying true to our principles, where we do what we do.
Tampa jumps out to an 18-point lead after a couple of big plays.
Yes.
And your sense of urgency offensively changed a little bit. Not saying you went completely no huddle, but went to a little bit of a sugar huddle, maybe a little bit more sense of urgency, and you had a lot of success with that. How much do you continue to kind of mix that in the middle of the game?
I think it's best as a mix. And we're always going to do what's best for the team. And I've never felt like we're just being on the line and going as fast as you can. You can play really good team ball. I know we do it in college some. Just we've seen that where you can play a lot of players. Well, in the NFL, we don't have that, you know, ability to play lots of guys. And living in this, you know, area, we certainly know about college football and both you guys calling it as well. So it's more effective when you can choose when to get in and get out of that tempo. We've always had a good part of that as our plan, and Matt does a terrific job. He has a full understanding of what we do, what checks to make. So it'll continue to be a part of what we do, and I think it's best within the drive.
Interesting, because we saw a formation in a package yesterday that I'm not sure we saw in preseason, maybe one snap, very little in training camp, and that was what I ended up calling on the air the pony package with Freeman and Coleman. Where did you start thinking about it? How did you guys kind of orientate yourself to say, okay, both obviously are catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yep.
It's a two-way game when they're both in there, I guess, right?
And they're both, you know, tough to match with. So it's basically, do teams want to stay in their base package or go to a nickel package and treat one like a receiver or not? So it definitely presents matchup issues that we're looking for.
I'm going to guess there might be a little more to that than meets the eye.
Yes.
You have success with it. Coaches tend to go to it.
The more times we get those two guys on the field, the better. So if you know, that could be, they can be seen as receivers, they can be seen as runners, but the good news is it's a big package.
And in rewatching the game last night, 24, and when they were both in there at one time, Tampa loaded up one side, and they picked the wrong guy because 24 chopped somebody down.
Yeah, you know the competitor that he is,
right.
And it's a great balance to see these two guys working together like they are.
15 touches for Free, 13 touches for Coleman. In the grand scheme of things, I know you'd like to have gotten more out of the run game, and that's going to maybe dictate a little bit, but is that the grand scheme of how you would like to do it, or are you just going to kind of feel a hot hand and go with somebody that's hot?
I would say it's a little more hot hand, but we're both going to feature these guys, and they're just too talented not to be utilized, so we're going to, you know, continue to push it as much as we can. We didn't dress a third halfback yesterday.
Yeah.
And we knew exactly what we were looking for from those two guys, and I thought they did a really good job.
Was it tough to get to the inactive list yesterday? It looked
like
it might have been difficult.
And that part, we hope that's the case, you know, where there's just good competition. And we told that to the team. We're going to have to fight to see who's going to be up on this 46. We told a number of the guys going in, whether it's the battle at receiver, a defensive line, is it a linebacker versus the third back, and it's really going to come down to teams. So some of those competition that happened at practice, you know, carry over into the decision to who's active.
Obviously, different game plan this week. You got a Raider team that you're going to take on in Oakland on the road. Talk a little bit about how you're going to get your team out there first and then maybe some of the focus.
Well, first thing, we're going to head out on Friday. Mm-hmm. And so as a West Coast trip, we'll practice here in Flowery Branch. Then we'll get on the plane, head out to Oakland, and then we'll have our walkthrough Saturday just to kind of get acclimated from a time schedule standpoint, get the long flight there, and then we can go out and get loose. Past that, you know, playing on the road, the main thing that's the difference is the crowd noise. And we've worked that over in training camp some. We worked it some last week. We just don't ever really want to go too far away from that where you just say, okay, this week you got to work silent count. So we worked it some last week. We'll work it again this week. They've got a terrific fan base, and, you know, certainly in some of the end zones are louder than the other.
some interesting outfits in some of those end zones as well.
Honestly, and you can relate to this as a player and for Wes and I, or cover the game or coaching, it's a fun environment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Honestly, being on the road at times as a team, there's some great, you know, connections that happen when you're on the road and it's you against everybody. Now, there's nothing like you know, like playing at home.
Sure.
But, you know, you take the challenge of playing on the road. If you're a real competitor, okay, let's go on the road and get our act together and do it. And then you really have gratitude and appreciation for when you get to play at home.
Well, it's interesting. We touched on this before we started the show today. Last time Falcons were out there was 2008. And Dave spent some time as a youth in the Bay Area.
Yes.
And the first time I'd been to Oakland was in 2008. And I told somebody, it's like going to the state fair. You have absolutely no idea what you're going to see.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're right. The environment itself is pretty unbelievable. And in some ways, kind of helps the road team, I guess, because you know what you're getting.
Yeah, and honestly, it is a good environment, and each place on the road has their own uniqueness way about them. And the Bay Area has always been, you know, a really cool place for football, both at San Francisco when it was at Candlestick, and now it's down in San Jose, and you know, at the Oakland Coliseum. So, a lot of tradition. There's been some good ball played. I know you watched some growing up there.
Sure did.
And, you know, I remember talking to Ron Wolf, who came in this summer for a day, who was a longtime, you know, scout with the Raiders. And we were talking about Madden and the early teams. And there were some great teams that, you know, were in the 60s there and the 70s.
Well, the pitch will be a little bit different for them coming in this weekend. There's a lot of expectations with Derek Carr and that quarterback,
sure.
The quarterback out there.
They get a huge win. Still. They got a baseball infield, so they're out there.
Oh, and they got a huge win yesterday. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. And I know you haven't really dove completely into what the Raiders are. Jack Del Rio yesterday decides to go for it, a 2-point conversion with about 40 seconds left in the game. Just the not necessarily talking about his decision, but how tough a decision is that to make to roll the dice right there?
Generally, that decision is made well before that drive starts. And you say, okay, when this one's going to go down, we're going to decide the game right now or we're going to wait to take it. Oftentimes, how you're playing that day is a factor. And then who else could have the ball on the other sideline is a factor. So I was not surprised to see him have the decision he did when the score was like it was and knowing who the other quarterback was. Sometimes you want to decide right now how to do that. And that's kind of like an old Parcells, you know, do you want to decide the game right now? Then do it. If you don't, then you play into overtime. But sometimes you want to decide, I want to make the decision to play it right now.
Is that one of those coaches' meeting room discussions, say, in June?
Well, it's generally during the week, too. And,
okay.
And you like to tell the play caller, hey, we're going to go. Like yesterday when we scored, I knew we were going to go for two. So Kyle already knew when we score here, we're going to go for two.
Right.
And he already has, you know, what he's going to go there. But it was going to be no Keith Armstrong, and the special teams coach was going to know that. So right when we did, we knew what we were going to go do. So I think as long as you have the plan going in,
sure.
You're not trying to just decide at the last second.
Yeah, execution was outstanding on the two. It was just seamless. Touchdown, then execution on the 2-point conversion. And the next thing you know,
everybody's kind of already ready for it when you, you know, as a play caller, where, okay, now I'm ready. We're going for it. Okay, let me look for it. You know, I know what we're doing. But I can understand why Jack went for it.
Well, yeah, your number nine standing over on the sideline. He'd already thrown for 400 yards and four touchdowns, so you can understand why he wouldn't give
him
the
ball. So I think
there's
a lot of things. So to answer your question, I don't think it's back in the spring.
Sure.
That one's by the game. And if you're playing really well, you say, okay, we're going to keep continuing doing what we're doing. We're going to kick it and play into overtime. We're playing well. Or if we're not, then it's the time to say, hey, let's make this decision and take the risk right now.
All right. Thanks for the time, as always, on a Monday. Good luck out in the Bay Area on Sunday. We'll see you there.
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right. That's Coach Dan Quinn. Stay tuned. Matt Ryan is in the player spotlight on this week's edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show, following this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Matt Ryan's touchdown pass to Mohamed Sanu brings us back to the player segment on this week's edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. And ironically, the quarterback is here with us today.
He is. Played well yesterday, Matt. Appreciate you taking time with us. When you watch tape, you had a lot of expectation going into the season. What jumps out at you that bothers you the most about what happened yesterday?
Well, you know, obviously the procedural stuff in the red zone. I mean, that's huge for us, the pre-snap stuff. So those are things we can control. I think we've got to do a better job on third down. You know, third down wasn't as efficient as we need to be. You know, but there's a lot of good too. I mean, there's a lot of good that we did and some positives from there. We're just, you know, the detail wasn't exactly where it needed to be. And that's stuff that hopefully we can improve from week one to week two.
A couple things we saw yesterday, maybe an expansion of what you guys were talking about in the offseason with the offense. And one was throwing to the backs more, and particularly Tevin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he made two big plays for you in the pass game. Take me through kind of how that evolves, because I think that's something that fans saw yesterday for the first time. They're thinking, wow, okay, there's some of the offensive wrinkles or off-season wrinkles in the offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, Free had such a big year for us last year and, you know, caught a lot of passes for us out of the backfield. But Tevin's a guy, I mean, he showcased on the one catch that he made kind of on the back shoulder, his ability to catch it with his hands and then, you know, make the spin move and transition and keep running as fast as he did. I mean, I thought that play showcased how athletic he is. So that was impressive to see. But those are some of our best players. You know, those two guys are some of our best players on this team, and we have to find ways to get them the ball in space. And you know, yesterday it was Tevin finding the ball out of the backfield, and that was a good thing for us.
Matt, how important is it? You and I had a chance to visit post-game there as we decompressed from the game, and the catch radius for guys, unfortunately, a fan doesn't get a feel of this, but there are people trying to come and get you.
Yeah.
And there, a lot of times it's different arm angles. You're trying to find a window to throw it to, as well as eating a helmet as you're letting it go. So accuracy can be the catch radius of a player.
Sure.
How important is it that a guy like Tevin Coleman has improved that catch radius?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. The margin of error is so small, and you're exactly right. Any little thing in the pocket can throw off, you know, your accuracy, whether it's just getting bumped as you're letting it go. You know, that ball might drift a little bit further right or further left than you think it will. But when guys can adjust the way that Tevin did and, you know, catch the ball, you know, whether it's behind him a foot or two or three, or in front of him a foot or two or three, you know, that's huge for a quarterback. It's, you know, we have a bunch of guys. We're lucky because, you know, I think we have a bunch of guys that can adjust to the ball really well, and that's important.
I think one of the things, too, is not only the combination with you and the backs, but obviously a guy like Mohamed Sanu, we just heard the play call a moment ago on the touchdown, he's come in here and acclimated himself pretty quick to what you guys are trying to get done, it looks like.
Absolutely. You know, I think that first touchdown we had to Mohamed in the game is a good showcase of his ability in the red zone. I think one of his greatest assets is his size and his ability to climb the ladder and go up and high point those balls down there. And when you can do that, you know, Brent Grimes played it pretty well. He was in the hip and in a pretty good spot. But when you have guys that are that big and that have a catch radius that keeps going because of his long arms, it allows you to be confident as a quarterback to let that thing rip high and at the goalpost, and he made a good catch and a good job getting his feet down.
Matt Ryan, our guest here on the player segment of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show and here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What happened with the run game? I think that that was the part that I think people thought, okay, we're going to be able to run it, and Tampa, give them credit, took away the run game. Was there something procedural or technique-wise that maybe they took away?
Well, I think sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. I thought Kaywon Alexander, I mean, he played great yesterday. Yeah. He really did. He did a nice job and made some really athletic plays and shut down a few of our runs that looked like they were going to be pretty good. So he did a good job. I mean, he really did. Beyond that, I think we've got to clean up just the details of the run game. It takes – you know, it's not just the offensive line. It takes the wide receivers. It takes the tight ends. It takes the backs. It takes me, you know, trying to carry out my fakes and hold that backside defender. I think it takes all 11 of us. And, you know, we were just a little bit off. And you can't do that, especially when you're playing a good front seven and really talented linebackers like yesterday.
Let me ask you something that was asked of me last week, and I kind of used it on the air yesterday, in that, Matt, statistically, or if you add all the numbers up, this is an older football team. Mm-hmm. Now you got to make fun of Bryant because he readily acknowledges he's 41 years old.
He and Freeney screw up the age on this team pretty
correct.
Badly.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right. They keep that number, the average higher.
But if you add up the age, you're one of the older teams, combined age, in the NFL. But yet, some of the skill positions are younger guys.
Yeah.
In fact, you start looking at the defense, there's a lot of four-year and under guys on the defensive side. How big a jump is this going to be for those younger guys who are now playing premium roles on this football team?
Well, I think it's huge. You know, experience is key. To me, you know, it feels like a young football team.
That's right.
You know, it does, just for teams that I have been around throughout my career. And this one feels like a younger team. When you have younger guys, I think you see greater improvement week to week than maybe you would with veteran guys. I think with veteran guys, you know what you're going to get from them most of the time, you know, week in and week out. But with younger guys, you just see them starting to understand the speed, how to get themselves prepared, what they need more of, what they need less of during the week. They get a better feel for what it takes to play in this league. And I really think our young guys are going to benefit from yesterday. You know, it's it sucks when you lose. There's no getting around that. Mm-hmm. But being in the heat, being in the battle, being in a four-quarter game, you know, that's what the NFL is all about. And that's not always the case in college. You know, I think that's one of the differences when you come into the NFL is that, you know, in college you might have three games a year that are really tight down to the wire games.
Right.
Well, you better get your mind right to go play 16 of them because that's how it shakes out in this league, week in and week out. And even have that mindset to have three more, four more in the playoffs after that. And so I think that experience from yesterday being in a tight ball game, having to make plays, not making them in certain situations, but also making them in some situations, I think that's going to help us.
Yeah, you talk about some of the things that you didn't get done. There were, as you mentioned, there were a number of things you did get done. Eight different guys caught a pass yesterday, mm-hmm. and five of those guys caught at least four passes. There were times last year where I'm not sure you could go through a full progression to make sure everybody was going to get distributed the football. It looked like maybe in the first week against a pretty good front seven, you might have maybe found a little bit more of a comfort zone that you can distribute the ball because you made a concerted effort to get a lot of people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that makes us the most difficult to defend when that ball is going to wherever coverage dictates it goes. And you have to have a lot of good players to do that, and I feel like we have that on offense right now at a lot of different positions. I think, you know, you talk about additions first at wide receiver, but, you know, I think at tight end, you know, Jacob Tammy's done a great job for us, but Austin Hooper comes out with a really good conversion on a low cross in our keeping game yesterday, and it was good to see that. That's encouraging. I think from our backs, the emergence of Tevin Coleman in the passing game yesterday is going to be a nice addition to what Devontae has already shown he can do.
It's going to be interesting to watch this unfold. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt a little bit this morning like I did after the 2010 opener at Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. where he lost in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrated, close things, detailed ball game. Remember that day at Heinz Field?
Yeah, I do.
And next,
Troy Polamalu comes out of nowhere and makes this interception on the backside.
He was in Pittsburgh.
He was on the left side of the field and intercepted a comeback on the right side. I was like, oh, my God.
That's why he's going to get a gold coat, right? Yeah. That's why he gets a gold coat. But
thanks for bringing that up, by the way.
Well, you never forget those ones,
no,
right?
No, I understand. But does it kind of have that sense? I mean, a little loose ends to open a season. You're frustrated you lost the game, but yet you saw enough to kind of build on as you get into what is a really tough part of the schedule here right at the front. Not that all of them are tough.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's you never know how it's going to shake out. You know, there's sometimes where you feel like after a game, you know, we just didn't match up with them. Physically or skill or whatever, and yesterday more felt like we just didn't play the way that we can play, you know, and it's not, you know, I think we got the guys to do it, you know, I really do. I think we have a good football team, but there has to be a real sense of urgency that, you know, the preseason's done, the time to, you know, screw things up is done. We've got to nail our assignments now, and hopefully that's a sense of urgency that this past week provided. But I do think we've got a good football team.
Yeah, when you look at the schedule that's ahead, I know you can only go 1 week at a time. Each and every week has to have a premium spot on your thought process, and I think that's the way you guys operate anyway.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dan talks about it all the time, that every game that we play is, you know, a championship game. I mean, it's championship-level opportunity. And our prep has to be the same every time that we go at it. And you just have to give it, you know, everything that you have during the week, getting ready to play, and when you go out there on Sunday. And so, you know, for us, that's kind of the mindset that we have. You have to have kind of tunnel vision and, you know, erase the game plan, erase, you know, the rules that we had for this past week and, you know, reload it and then go back and put some new ones in for this week.
How was it with Kyle upstairs and Matt LaFleur, who does a really good job in the quarterback room, as you're – essentially the quarterback coach, that transition, the communication? I know you're on the headset every time you come off the field, but the in-game stuff, how did that go for you?
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I thought Kyle did a good job yesterday. I mean, it's obviously different in the box, but, you know, one thing that's different this year is it's the first year that they're able to communicate, the coach-to-quarterback communicator from the box. Mm. And I think that gives Kyle, you know, a good perspective to be able to be up there and see. But he's also the one pumping the information into the headset. So I think that's a good fit for him. I thought the operation yesterday was really good.
Now, the time frame on that, and correct me if I'm wrong, 15 seconds, he's done.
Yeah.
So once you get into a huddle situation and you break the huddle and the clock is below 15, now all the information you're getting is something you're processing.
Yeah, for sure. And Kyle knows I don't like a lot of noise coming in the headset. You know, I want the personnel on the play call and that's it. And that's just, I operate best that way. And so, I mean, there's probably not as much coming into that headset as people think. You know, for us, basically, it's we're in this personnel, here's the play, and then it goes, you know, silent. And that's the way that I like it, because that's why you spend all this time during the week to have yourself prepared so that when something comes in, I always like to say you want to be on autopilot out there. You know, you're not even thinking about it. You just know what you're supposed to do. And I felt that way yesterday. I felt really good out there yesterday, but we just need to clean a few things up so we can all play a little bit better.
Well, not to tell you you're getting along in this league, but it's been since your rookie year that we've been to Oakland to play.
I know it. Yeah, I was thinking about it. It was a good time we were out there last time.
Yes, it was.
So hopefully we can recreate some of that day.
Well, try to get D. Hall to line up at corner for us. We'll be out there.
Think about that. Yeah, D. Hall, Nnamdi Asamoah was on the other side.
Mike Jenkins went off that day.
That's right. Good day.
By the way, congratulations on the honor in mid-November. For two guys that watched you play a lot in college, we're thrilled for you that Boston College is going to retire your number on the 19th of November.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's you know, it's pretty cool to think, you know, that my number and jersey will be hanging up there at BC. So I can't believe I'm getting that old that, you know, I've been removed long enough from there that this can happen. But it certainly means a lot.
Yeah, when you go into Boston College, Alumni Stadium there in Chestnut Hill, Wes and I are fortunate enough to get to do a few games. When you walk in, the first two pictures that hit you in the face, Luke Kuechly and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
They're right there. They did a great job.
They're bigger than life, by the way.
I know.
The pictures are bigger than life.
It's pretty cool. They have a pretty cool setup there where you walk in. But, yeah, they do a great job kind of demonstrating some of the guys that played well there before.
That's cool.
How much now, Matt, will you – You're a leader, I think, that people don't realize. I see you do a lot of stuff in practice. I see you doing a lot of stuff on the sidelines. How much, with a young team, is there a kick in the butt? Do you need to do that? I know Coach Quinn's kind of like that anyway, so he handles that. Are there things that you need to do in that regard?
Well, you know, I think one of the most important things, and the best teams are the ones that are led by their guys, their players. And Q does such a great job of motivating and you know, keeping things in perspective and keeping the focus on what's important. You know, but when you get the guys that do it in the locker room, that handle those things, I think it's best then. And for me, it's, you got to know your guys. You got to know which guy does need a kick in the butt, or which guy, you know, might need a pat on the back and some encouragement. I think the older I've gotten, you know, the more important I have found that it is to know who you're surrounded by and know what those guys need. And because at the end of the day, you got to find the right buttons to push to get the best out of everybody. And that's different for everybody. So for me, it's about finding that right mix with the guys.
Did you feel good after you got the tape, and I've been there, that you confirmed what you saw in the game? Because that's really that only – confirmation you get for yourself.
Sure.
You feel good about what you saw and not throwing shots or taking shots.
Yeah, no, I thought Kyle did a good job yesterday of, you know, dialing up some opportunities for us to get the ball down the field. Felt like I saw the field, you know, pretty well yesterday. Like any game, there's one or two, you know, you'd like to have been a little bit more accurate on a couple of third downs. I felt like I could have put the ball in a little bit better place, and that would have, you know, given us a chance to extend some of those drives. But that's part of the game, and you got to, you know, learn from it, put it away, and move on.
Matt, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, Matt Ryan with us, and that'll close the first edition of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday from Flowery Branch.